This is the DLP Agenda.
That's good. What is that, Crystal Light?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special episode of the DLP Agenda with the man I spend more time with anyone in the world, David Koechner, joins the show.
Good evening, Rob.
Welcome, friend. Hello,
gentlemen, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Well, do people say David Koechner when they finally get to be near you in presence, in person, office trivia? What's the tour? It's got a great name. Filthy Lies, Blue Skies.
Dirty Lies and Blue Skies.
When they see you, do they look up not realizing you are about the height of an NBA player?
Well, I wear boots that give me an inch and a half.
I wish I could
wear a boot in my pants. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hey, now.
Put some heels on that.
Off and running.
Yeah, because I looked up at you like a big brother, little brother program, like you were walking me around in a bad neighborhood.
Now, have you been in a fight?
No, never.
You've never been in a fight? You've never been in one fight in your life?
One.
You almost wanted to fight the white rapper at the San Diego...
Yeah. Wow.
He told us the story of you guys having people squat in your green room.
And then step to us.
Right.
And they got froggy.
Yeah.
They like bowed their chest out.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But they were all scrawny. Well, they had the one big kid.
That was the one Rob was going to fight.
He was the muscle.
I was just confounded. So we're in San Diego. We walk into the green room.
First show.
And there's first show Thursday night. And there's four kids on the couch. I say kids, they're in their 20s. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Like, what are you doing here? I don't remember the whole conversation.
What are you doing?
Hey, real quick, did they recognize you?
No. But they said, we're the opener. I'm like, you're not my opener. Like,
this is my opener.
It's not your show.
You're Rob Mayer?
Yeah, it was weird. And then they got up and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was like, what are you, we're the rappers.
Now, where's Rob at this time when this is happening?
Are you just at the door?
I'm just there, not helping.
Get him, Dave.
Yeah. And did I leave and come back with the manager?
Yes, we figured it out.
You left Rob in there?
Yeah.
And then we did a little rapping together. I did a beatbox and he wrote a quick song.
You laid it down.
They were at the wrong venue.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, at what point could you not tell you're in a comedy club?
Yeah, you don't see musicians on the walls. Yeah. There's no rapper. Yeah. No one's doing a sound check. No turntables are getting set up.
The security guard ushered them downstairs and brought them backstage.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't ask?
Maybe he's a big fan of that, right?
Right? The single question.
I believe we called that episode Bone Thugs and Comedy.
Yeah.
When we aired it.
Nice. I wonder if they were any good.
I'm sure they weren't. hello to everyone in chat. We got Pam. We got Rob. We got Carrie, Rodney, Brittany,
what's up, Kelsey?
Steph,
Ed Van Arsdale.
Ariel, all the good people
here.
All
these people
here
that logged in.
These are all people joining us in the chat right now. Questions, comments, anything for our special guest, Dave Koechner. We're talking outside to continue this whole, like, green room debacle. You got things like somebody from the prior show leaving it a disaster. You have someone, Helium Philly, has a famously nice but small green room that if someone uses the bathroom in the worst way, it completely London fogs it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking outside that a pet peeve of yours are the people that sign the wall.
We both hate that. You wanted to paint the wall in Raleigh this past week, which would have been a great power move.
God bless anybody that likes to do it, but
Lenny Bruce.
He wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just annoying because everybody has to add a joke. It's usually people that are less well known will write their name huge block letters and then discover halfway through their name that they don't know how to do block letters.
It disintegrates off into nothing.
Right. They start shading it the wrong way and just annoying.
You know, I watched a video this past week. You know, Jackson Holliday is. So Jackson Holliday plays for the Orioles. Okay. He was the number one prospect in the minor leagues. Wow. They just called him up.
Okay.
And his first series was against the Boston Red Sox. And a lot of guys go in there and sign inside the scoreboard. The baseball players do.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so he was looking for his dad's name. And because his dad, Matt Holliday, also played.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Didn't he play for St. Louis?
Yeah, he did. Matt Holliday.
Okay.
If you remember Matt Holliday. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But the thing is, we're in the room, and you had to. It's a small room, and you have to just see what everyone's written. It's not, you know, if you're signing the scoreboard, that's different. I would be fine if you signed a different wall outside the room. Or even the bathroom
walls. Comedy store.
Yes. Even the bathroom walls. Fine.
Yeah, because the last thing a comic wants is to read jokes. What are you trying to be funny for me?
Yeah, it's like a handwritten open mic night on the wall. I was here, or was I? I crushed until I bombed. It's like, okay.
And I know what you're saying. I will say that there is something romantic about when you go back to the DC Improv, because they sign it as you walk out, and you say, oh, Dave Chappelle signed. You know, like, you see names of people.
It's not in the green room.
Well, interesting, to Joe's point, and they recently redid, within the last year or two, the DC Improv had this little secret hallway that run around the room, and you came out on stage, and there was some exposed particle board, and you would sign that, and there'd be, like you said, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, we signed it and stuff like that. Well, they redid it.
All the greats.
And they got rid of that. They got rid of that back area, and they took that piece of plywood. Do you know what they did with that piece of plywood? They threw it the fuck away. They shotgunned it into a trash can.
How little they care.
And said, see you on the other side. They didn't give a shit. That went right in the garbage. Yeah.
Wow. Apparently, that last club we were at had a wall that had been signed.
Well, it was Goodnights is a famous club. Yes.
And Charlie Goodnights, right?
Yeah, right. And now they've we were there a year and a half ago. It was temporary in an old cafeteria.
It was literally in a cafeteria.
Literally, yeah.
Like a 3-inch stage.
Yeah, and now the new room is very nice.
Beautiful.
It's in this, except if you want to park.
Yes, parking is difficult.
It's in like a little shopping center. It's next to a Shake Shack, which we love that.
Yes, yeah.
Dave, you're the closest in age to me to anybody here is in the room.
I'm
but
dad,
to me, I'm almost your age. Okay. We're almost the same age.
He gets a discount at Diners.
So I find whenever somebody says, hey, let's go do this, the first thing I say is, what's the parking like?
Nice.
Are you the same way? Is it something that old people do?
I don't have enough foresight.
Time to do anything.
Because I know in L.A. what the parking is. So if we're here,
exist.
We're just going to be subjected to wherever we're going. I don't have choices. If we're going, we're...
This guy I always compliment because, you know, I did a little stint on the road that I think might have lasted. I think my comedy career was about 18 months of road work with stints that might go 2 weeks, 3 weeks tops.
Okay.
Then I see him, you out on the road. I mean, 2 years at a time.
Dude,
and every
time
he goes, Rob really takes advantage of the city. I mean, he sees parks. He goes to like landmarks.
We like to walk.
You don't.
He's masturbated in every major city.
He's jacked off on the.
That's
element.
How I signed the wall.
Yeah. He said, "This is for Davy Crockett." Yeah. And just right up against it. But this guy travels well. I mean, for a guy that opens for you like Rob, and we're going to get into your history. We've actually got a very fun quiz. Who knows Rob better, Joe Robinson or you, David Koechner? Okay. How important is it to have an opener who's not just obviously he's just disastrously funny,
good comics. Yes.
But off stage, in the hotel, in the airport, in the car, someone you can be around that while they might be A-level funny on stage, they could be a D-minus level person. They could be bad at traveling. They could be a mess in hotels. You get a call to your room at 1 a.m. Oh, shit, Rob took his dick out in a Build-A-Bear. Well, you don't have to worry about that stuff. How important is that?
Well, we got on right away the first time we met in
Arlington Cinema Draft. Actually, we'll be back here in November, October.
I must have been doing it for like 3 years, I think. Because I didn't start stand-up until I had my fifth kid. And then, but I've always done live comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I realized then I have to always be extra employable, all based on my schedule, right? Not having to wait for someone else's. So we met and hit it off. And by then I was already starting to realize I don't want this rotating a list of features.
It's a gamble when you go to a town and say, we got a guy to feature for you.
Yeah. But it's also work, right? That person's going to, you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to have to deal with whatever that is.
Yeah. Problem, because Rob knows. I would get interviewed every weekend from the new feature.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's Will Ferrell like? Mm-hmm.
Is he like?
He's a lovely human being. But Rob and I, our shows are completely different. I guess probably the big thing was you don't have kids.
Right.
And basically every feature that I would ever have would be in his 30s, and he starts talking about kids. And like my shows kind of like, you know, I don't know, 40%.
Especially then.
There's too much overlap.
Yes.
That if the well's been run dry by the time you get up
there. I tell them they got to cut it.
Yeah.
It bumps. So... Like now, we just do a two-man show.
Yeah, no, we went to see you when you were at McGoobies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he does a powerful half an hour. I do an hour. We do that 8 minutes together. We just play 8 to 10, which is unique. So it's a really good show. People don't expect Rob to be that good. It'll, yeah, the feature is great, and
yeah.
Like,
well, oh, Rob's got a lot of miles on him. Really? He's, you know, yes. He, I mean, to do that much stand up, you know, Rob is obviously
when
great.
You get the reps that Rob does, I mean, they obviously know you from all of your work, right, and sketch and stand up and improv. But then he's sort of the special surprise that when they leave, they know what they got with David Koechner, right, and they're happy for, right, it. But then they get to find out about Rob.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good.
Oh, it's fun. No.
We want a 90-minute show. But they also, yeah, they get, you say they know about David Koechner, but they don't. They know you, right, as an actor.
Right.
They know you on SNL, but they don't really know you as a stand-up. Right. So I feel like the whole show, they're kind of, obviously you go, you have an expectation, you're excited, but I think they're surprised that,
but a lot of what you
have,
you
like
do,
an act, you're not just telling, right, stories.
Because, right, I watched you, like I said, you know, I also watch it differently. So does Justin. We watch, I wish I could just sit back and enjoy it, but we don't. No, you know, we can't watch it that way. But when you went through the crowd, and I guess you do that pretty regularly, God, it was really fucking excellent, man. It really was. And I really enjoyed it, right? Because obviously, well, you know what? Crowd work's different because you're hearing it the same time I'm hearing it, right, for the first time, right? And you were really good. I'm sure some of those things you've borrowed from other whatever, but you earned that because they were funny when you said them. And God, it's really, it really was a pleasure to watch that happen.
A
it
good
really
bit
was.
Can start as a riff.
Yeah.
And then you take it to another town.
Somebody told you to do that.
When,
right,
I started stand up, Dana Gould said, find a reason to go out in the audience. You're from TV, they'll love it.
Yeah.
And it was revelatory.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's really very simple. And they're just allowing me. Plus, I'm complimenting all the women in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge.
Well, that's another thing that you did. Yeah. You had this.
Even if they're disgusting.
Where you would go back to the same woman over and over again about how you wanted to marry her or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's obviously, that's something that you'll be able to probably do every show. And it worked beautifully. It was really good. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you've molded it into whatever that was. But I don't know if I just saw it, you on a great night, but I'm guessing not because Rob told me the next show was even better. But the show, and I'm not just kissing your ass. I mean, we know stand up, and it was, and you also hadn't been doing stand up that long, really. You know, you've been doing movies and you've been doing improv.
About years ago?
No, I'm talking about I saw you. What was that last month? Right, at McGoobies.
Oh, no, we've been on a three-year tour.
Right. But when I say that long, I'm saying Rob's been doing it for 30 years or whatever.
For you to be the caliber you are, technically,
no, you're great. Yeah,
stand up. Okay. You've got 15, 20 years of capability in 5 years of time. It's remarkable to watch.
Well, but I've done live since I was 24.
Okay,
right. So, I mean, but that's improv, right?
Sketch and improv.
Yeah,
you know. That's how you put your set together. You're still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Did you study under Del Close by any chance?
Yeah.
What an absolute madman that guy was.
You know, you heard the stories. He told the stories. Sometimes they'd go on too long, and he's like, can we just do the work? But he was, you know, basically the messaging from him was, you know, treat comedy like a religion.
Yeah.
You know, it is not to be abused. Don't make it cheap.
Are you familiar with the works of Del Close?
No.
The Del Close Marathon, Del Close, some of the greatest improvers, Second City, SNL, Groundlings. I mean, if anybody out there could work to the level of a Koechner or a Ferrell or John C. Reilly, I believe, Pohl or Fay, some of the greatest that shoot from the hip going, God, how are they able in that moment to find a way to extend it and level it up? There's a good chance they studied under Del Close, and he was a unique man.
And he taught you a lot?
Oh, yeah. Del is probably the most important person in long-form improvisation.
Do you know where you might have seen him? He was the sinister preacher in the 80s Blob remake.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have seen him there.
It's a great film, and he really sold it. He stole a piece of the Blob at the end after his face was badly burned for a sequel. That never happened. Now, the office trivia is another thing that Rob is sort of added on to your acts.
Yes.
And that was a gamble on your part. And because sometimes some people, we on my radio show from time to time, we'll talk to stars of a certain television program or a movie that they go, I appreciate my time with it, but I'm more than just that. I do something beyond. And you had your time as Todd Packer. You have your time as champ. You do much beyond that. And some people sometimes are hesitant to continue being that character, to live in that world. Mm-hmm. But you seem to have dove feet first into it when he came to you with office trivia. Yeah. And now I hear that's some of the best nights of the weekend.
Well, it's easier for us because we get to do it together.
Yeah.
So you're not.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And the audience has fun. It's like they're going to church. They get so
excited.
They
dress up. Yeah.
They dress up. It's theirs, right? They have some ownership. I didn't even have a consideration about being like, look, I've done so many different things. I don't even think about like people recognize me as only one. They only recognize me for The Office and Anchorman.
Yeah.
Then they slowly stretch, you know, go out and go, oh my God, he's in that too. And
his catalog's vast.
Yeah. What do you have? 300 IMDb credits?
200.
Yeah, something crazy.
It used to be a trivia question.
Yeah. But the thing is, people are demanding it anyway. So we would, I like, you know, I have to say lines from The Office and Anchorman in every show. I realize that's why they're there, right? And I didn't used to do it. And then the guy in Nashville's club told me, you got to play the hits, brother.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Got to give him the taste.
I thought it would be bad to do it. I thought it would be, like, cheap. But then I...
In some well, it is, but it's also required.
Yes.
Right? So, because I remember working with John Witherspoon, and his last 30 minutes are lines from Friday.
He's literally reciting lines from Friday, and guess what? The crowd...
They love it, and they want it, and that's what they're there to see.
Jimmy Walker's still throwing out dynamite.
Yes, he has to. I know he doesn't like it, but, you know, you have to. I make them wait a half an hour for it. But, you know, sometimes they just start yelling whammy early in the show.
Yeah.
And then I just
that's
have to
a late
say,
show.
Yeah, I will say whammy, but can you just give it?
You'll get your whammy.
Yeah. We'll get in.
But, no, you know what? You earned it. It is yours. You know what I mean? So maybe it does feel cheap, and I do kind of understand what you're saying, but it also is required, and it's also your intellectual property. You know, you're the one that created that, and you're the one that made it hilarious, and you're the one that made them love it. So if I was saying it, it is cheap. But if you're saying it, it's really not. That's how they know you, and you've earned it for sure.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they erupt when it happens. Mm-hmm. You know, they're waiting, and here it is. There we go. Okay. You know, so yeah.
And you're great in the crowd as far as being on your feet, your improv, things like that. And it does seem we are currently in a time of, and Rob can attest to this, that some of our dear friends have blown up because of it. Stavros Halkias.
We were talking about Rory Scovel.
Rory Scovel. Yeah. Stavros more than Rory. Rory improv, Stavros crowd work. Now, we live in a crowd work, bite-sized time. Matt Reif built his entire bones on the thing. Right. Schultz, he had his social commentaries, but now it's all crowd work clips. I mean, I feel like you slot perfectly into that world, being able to immediately jump on something, find something funny, grab that moment, record it, and get it out there. How do you feel about the rise of the crowd work comedian that's now filling arenas?
Well, the only issue is that people think that's what every show is.
Yeah. That's the argument against it, is it's conditioning a crowd to go, oh, this is an exchange.
I'm supposed to talk.
But exactly. I will say this, because I watched your crowd work, and it's a lot different than ours because it's kinder. Does that make sense? I mean, it's very complimentary.
I have a hard time being an actor.
Yeah, yeah. I have no problem at all. And so, but that's not normally what you see in crowd work, are people having fun at the expense of the audience. Right. And that isn't really what you do. So if I do think that if Rob has suggested that you put that out there, I think that that's the right thing to do, because I do think that people will see that and go, wow, that isn't really like what we normally see. It really does seem different to me. And maybe it's just the show that I saw, but I didn't see anything super angry or malicious or anything. I'm not angry when I do it, but I'm definitely trying to make fun of whoever is in front of me.
Right. Well, see, I'm going in the audience later, and I know that, so I'm not going to, you know, be shitty because I'm going to be standing right beside
you. True, but they also might like it.
We do this thing with the Office Trivia Show. We always open, raise your hand if you would hire Todd Packett at your job, and it would introduce Todd Packett to your mom. And we're talking about filming those, because those...
Right.
I mean, we had...
We get some
who says yes that they would introduce Todd Packett?
About 10% of the crowd, and then he usually asks, is your mom here? She's more nearby. And then what job you hire?
Yeah,
one guy was like an air traffic controller. It's like, you trying to get us all killed?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is when they'll introduce Todd Packer to their mom and they're still married.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
What are you doing?
They like Todd Packer better than they like their dad.
You think Todd Packer's just going to be a friend?
Yeah.
He bangs mom.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not what has two thumbs and likes to talk to your mom.
Yeah.
We're going to pray. Pre-orgasm, he's got the Uber app up on his phone. Right. Can I ask you an office question? I apologize if this has been presented to you before, but I've always heard rumors as a fan of the show that it was shot is very tongue-in-cheek. We're making a documentary about this office, a Dunder Mifflin, and one day, in the plot of the show, during the confessionals and all that we are shooting a documentary, which was the theme of The Office, that one day that documentary will be shown, that they will take all that confessional footage and what it's like working here and what it's like being in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, the town's name escapes me.
Scranton.
Scranton, thank you, with the froggy 103 station. And that there's rumors of a release one day of that I've never seen come to fruition, that Office fans think.
Wait, so there's more confessionals that haven't been aired?
The confessions that have already been aired. That's the theme behind the show, as you well know, that a camera crew followed around the daily
at the end
workings.
Of the show, they did, that documentary came out on the show.
I didn't see.
And then they watched it.
I thought it was supposed to be this hour-long special.
By the way, I don't remember
that. I know,
what
yeah,
you
the
just
end
said.
Of the program,
well, they could.
Just, that there was supposed to be this hour-long thing that never got released. Maybe it was truncated down into that.
Well, they could do anything right now. They're still,
they're right, white hot. And that's obviously because you can consume it on Netflix, and there's a whole new audience for it, and things like that.
There's extended episodes
Super,
right?
The Super.
I think it's
Peacock.
NBC.
Peacock,
yeah,
right.
It's Peacock. Yeah. I want to talk about it, you know, because we go on the radio a lot, and people talk about Second City, and just when you were there, I mean, the people that were there, it's like, you know, we're big wrestling fans. And at one point in Ohio Valley Wrestling, which is like the minor leagues, they had John Cena and Bautista and Randy Orton.
Wow.
And
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
And it's like, how are these
You ever
guys,
work with Brock Lesnar?
They're all there together. Just and so, but you had that times 10 with, with so actors, writers, comedians.
Right. Your class.
The who's who. Well, the time that I spent there on stage, all these people moved to Chicago and were playing on various stages. Most then all aiming at Second City because that was a real job.
Yeah.
But we're talking like Chris Farley, Mike Myers, Tim Meadows, Andy Richter, Steve Colbert, Steve Carell, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey. There's a whole host of writers that are not household names that have been writing late night comedy for the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they were there at Second City when I was there too. I could go, I need to carry a list around.
Isn't it weird that you kind of graduate from that? That sounds like the top of the top of the heap.
It sounds like a draft.
But Saturday
class.
Night Live seems like the, you made it from there to Saturday Night Live, which almost sounds a little unfair considering
they
the talent.
Had SCTV at one point,
but that was. I mean, do you even remember
short-lived,
that? I do because I'm old.
Yeah, I was young enough to watch. Airing when I was younger. Yeah,
you watched some of those episodes though, and I mean, they absolutely.
Oh no! Yeah, they were
same way. Mad TV would. I mean, they all had their time. But to your point about that class of people, I mean, you are swimming with comedic sharks, and as much as you would, I would assume, and I'm making assumptions here, you'd feed off each other. It had to be intensely comedic. Competitive?
Well, I'm not a competitive. Well, improv is not competitive.
Yeah, right.
Because you have to say yes and to the other person on stage.
But the desire to be the funniest on stage, maybe even not spoken.
Yeah,
maybe
but you have to be successful in order for our sketch to be good. Yeah. So you can't be super competitive because then if you don't get laughs, then the sketch fails.
Right.
Why am I answering your question?
Well, the thing is, Matt Besser was interviewing a bunch of people for a book. I hope it comes out because he's talking about our particular time in Chicago. And he asked, he says, did you feel you were competitive? And I said, I never thought of myself as competitive. I've had people tell me that I'm very driven, but I don't notice it. Like everyone goes, man, you're driven. I'm like, really? To me, I'm just a hard worker. Like, I got to go. So that's the way I look at it.
Passionate drive and competitiveness are all on the same, same row.
Here's the other honest thing is I knew I was going to make it, and this is not an arrogance thing. I made my decision, and I'm like, I'm just going to make this work.
Yeah.
I didn't have any doubts. So I don't know if that presents itself one way or the other. I certainly was never competitive. I've had guys be competitive with me, and I'm curious as to why.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help you. It doesn't hurt me.
How long were you poor? Were you poor at all?
Because
that matters, obviously, right?
You know, describe poor, right?
Where you said, maybe I have to do something else in order to have success with this.
Well, no. I had to. I always had a restaurant job.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't get there and go right to work at Second City. Right.
Now,
you take classes for four years. You know?
Okay.
Was it Bob Evans or Howard Johnson's?
Bob Evans, I got a job. My first job in Chicago, I think it was, Des Plaines, I think. I got a job because I was working as a restaurant kitchen manager in Missouri before I moved to Chicago. So I thought I had to get a job as a manager, which was a bad idea. So I got there and I got a job at the Bob Evans restaurant as a management trainee. And man, that was tough.
Is that how you got waiting?
I was going to say, did you take that?
Is it? It is.
Did you take that into that role, waiting, which is such a beautiful role of a man that's about to cash in his future for $35,000 a year and a pack of wine coolers? That moment, while hilarious,
wasn't there
in the
a
movie,
line that you took from something that was somebody you worked with?
I don't think I took the line from him, but he was a real kind of a ass wipe. Because he thought he was a regional manager.
Yeah.
So he was the big fish, right? And he acted like he's so arrogant.
Yeah.
It was just because I remember I asked. He said, "Do you play softball?" And I think I was like, "No." I go, "Do you?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "You're righty or lefty?" He just does this. No. Like, you can't say the word. You should be, okay. Gotcha. Like, I don't care.
You know, they say about left-handed men. Like, what do they say?
That's hilarious.
Let me ask you a question. I've always wanted to know somebody that probably gets offered scripts and gets offered ideas or gigs or things like that. What's the last thing you looked at and turned down? You said no.
It was yesterday. Someone had this small project, and I don't know how much you want to talk about.
Tell to a level of comfort.
It wasn't this podcast.
Die Laughing Productions. Yes.
Let's just say, for instance, there are times where you and the agent read it and just agreed that this is a no.
It's not going to end.
Now, if it had been a lot of money and it's still bad, you'd probably go, I'll tell you this. Piranha 3DD.
Okay.
Probably not the most brilliant film.
But you know what? You have daughters going into college. Yep, there's mortgages, stuff like that. Are you familiar with David Cross's role in the...
funny you mentioned David Cross.
David Cross
the
Chipmunks
movie. Chipmunks movie, yeah.
Where he was part of the indie comedy scene, and please stop me if you know this story, where he was in the indie comedy scene with your Patton Oswalt and Zach Galifianakis and Blaine Kapaches of the world, and he was looked as a thinking man's comic and what have you, but in the middle of that, he takes a gig as the villainous record executive in Chipmunks.
Yep.
And I guess Patton gave him some shit.
Oh, did
as
he?
Far as going... what are you doing? You're better than this. I'm paraphrasing here. And David Cross merely says, you know what? I've always wanted to own a cabin. And now I own a cabin.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And then Patton Oswalt did Ratatouille.
Yeah. And then, now I own the entire park your cabin's built on. Yeah. But to be able to just do things you want to financially, not everything has to, you know, rewrite the book on comedy and intellectualism. Well, some can just be a gig.
You've got to decide. Look, I'm a character actor. I don't control the movie. I'm just going to do my best in it. So if it's bad, I'm still going to be good in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion of myself. Mm-hmm. But you can't spend someone else's money. That's what I've realized. Yeah. You know, I've got five kids. You know, that's I don't have choices.
Potent seed.
Huh? Yeah.
Potent seed.
Yes, potent. Yeah, don't look at me. but no, you know, I don't have choices. Like, I've turned something down before, and I shouldn't have, because I thought I was making a career movie.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's Wolverine?
Because I thought I had just done a parody movie, and I shouldn't do another parody movie back-to-back, which it doesn't matter.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No one's going to think less
He's
of
doing too many parody movies.
Yeah, right?
What is this guy? Why is he not in a Coppola production?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned David Cross. You were just...
David Cross's 60th birthday was one of the funniest nights
just
of my
there
life.
Last
That's
week.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. 3 weeks ago, I think.
No, was it two? I think
I don't know. First week of...
Did he talk about the Chipmunks?
Yeah. No. I mean, it was a surprise party.
It was at his cabin.
So I was very happy to be invited and see people I have not seen in 20 years and all these people whose careers have, you know, gone on to from... We were all just kind of, you know, new to television, and then everyone had these long careers, and more people, you know, pop up, and they were all part of David's life throughout this, you know, last, 30 years?
Yeah.
And to be invited to that was amazing. And then Bob Mould played.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit, really?
What from Husker Du.
Like, I was going to say, Husker Du, did you do a little, like, acoustic set, or?
He did he did electric, and then, his name's just Fred Armisen, then sat in on drums.
Okay. Oh, hell yeah.
That's from awesome. Portlandia.
Yeah.
He's a real Renaissance man, right?
Yeah.
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, but he was also in Blue Man Group.
Wait, he was?
Fred Armisen was in Blue Man Group?
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, look that one up.
Really?
Yeah, Robbie, is he next to a computer?
Yeah, yes. Robbie, look that up.
Robbie with a
Robbie, find that. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated with some of your works, and I sometimes wonder if you have... like a quiet, like, pet project that's been boiling on a back stove somewhere. Something that I...
Well, we have a lot of screenplay ideas.
I was going to say, Rob, you spend a lot of time together.
The Rob Mayer Chronicles?
Something you're working on.
Rob and I have 5 screenplay ideas that are solid that we will never write.
Yeah. We will.
We will. I'm currently trying to put together a podcast. Well, we've done it, so... I wanted something that had to do with me going out on the road, because I have to go on the road anyway. So it's called Get Me the Mayor. So then my old assistant, Paige Cloney, I begged her to come back. She'd been in production to come back and help me, you know, do projects just like this. So we're just knocking off one at a time. The first one is a podcast. So we go to a town. We meet the mayor. We meet like 4 or 5 different business owners and get a vibe for the town, right? And then we still haven't edited the first one down. I think we probably have about 60 hours.
It sounds like almost like a comedic
You were there for a year.
Yeah. So it's like a travelogue.
I hope so. Yeah, because what you don't want it to be is not one thing or another.
Yeah, just right, to be... Right.
Just like, what is that?
The four guys drunk at a party that have an iPhone go, man, we should have been recording this. And if you do, it's miserable.
Right.
It's no good.
So, I don't know. It's interesting right now. So, it'll be interesting. That's the big side project right now. And then, obviously, I've got to do a special because I've never done one. And then my agent went out to try to get someone. A couple of people contacted me, so I'll probably do it, I don't know, soon.
If you did a special, where do you think the venue would be? Not a specific... Do you prefer... Intimate club, low ceiling, something theater, something that might not even be a performance space.
I don't like the flat, what they call the stage when it's all glossy. I don't like a glossy stage.
Right.
But I don't know. Whatever. I don't really have an opinion. That's the last.
Scrappy.
That's the least of my concerns. It's like just someone wants to do it somewhere. Let's just do it and get it up and get it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't even worry about the aesthetic of it all. Just the material takes precedent.
I mean, I should more. But I'd have to wait until it happens.
Okay.
You know, but I guess if you had an idea now, it's going to be closer to fruition rather than just going, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Because you keep pushing that down the road, then next thing you know, it's been on the road.
You're in a Denny's. I like the comedy club suiting a special because that plays into you walking into the crowd, too.
That's
true. Talk about.
And that's true.
I just think that's more of a real comedy.
It's hard
experience.
To do that in an amphitheater. It's like a natural comedy space right now. A friend of ours named Nick Mullen from Around 2 has got a great new special, Year of the Dragon, and it's shot in a very low ceiling comedy club. DC Improv is one of our favorite places to be. You got that low ceiling that really shotguns that audio to and from.
Yep.
And for someone like you that gets out there and moves around some, I would love to see that. Another thing I've always been curious about with somebody that's such a good improver is you, is I've always been fascinated from moments and scripts and TV shows where you just decided, hey, can I try something real quick? This isn't, we think we got the take. Can I try something strange for a second? And it was so brilliant or so different than what the writer director were thinking. They said, my God, we have to keep that. I mean,
that would be a great story.
With you,
God, if it only happened.
To me, it's like whatever. It's like water, and I don't mean it's not precious. It is, but you're just doing your job. Now on Anchorman, we improvised all the time, but we got Adam McKay, who's an improviser, who knows what he's looking for, and he knows how he's going to use it already. Okay. McKay's one of the brightest guys I've ever met in my life. I would just say his brain has its own gravitational pull. He's just white hot smart. So he knew how he was going to use all the improvisation. Plus, the other thing it did is it made everybody chemically react differently as actors because you've really got to listen. Because I don't know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
So your job as an actor is really supposed to be listening.
Be in that moment to react off.
But when you're improvising, you have to.
Yeah.
Because all I know is what you just said. It's not the script. It's not, you know. It's not memorized.
So you might have something queued up to pull the trigger on, but if they say something else, you got to go with it.
It charges the scene in a different way.
Okay. Speaking of improv, I know you were on Curb, right? And the idea, and this is what we've always heard, is that essentially you get a premise, and then they just leave you to your own devices. Is that true?
Yeah. They kind of give you an outline of where the scene's going to go. That's what Larry does. They put the bullet points of where the scene needs to go, hit these points, and then that's that. And that was a lot of fun. And I was told... by one of the directors that I did one episode as Dave as Joseph.
And I remember it's the one where Larry got the pubic hair caught in his throat.
Yes. And Larry had said to the director, "Man, what would happen if we didn't get that guy? He was just great. It was nice. He gave me a nice."
He called you that guy. He didn't know who you were.
I don't know. You know, whatever.
But you better have an elite level cast to be able to pull off a show like that. Because I can see with Adam McKay, there's definitely a script. He wants you guys to improv some. But on a show like Curb, where like instead of A B C D E all the way to Z, they go here's A, here's M, here's Z, and fill in the blanks. You have to have an elite level group of improvers like the kind you came up with.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Garland, Richard Lewis, RIP.
Right, but those are guys that are regulars and you know they can do it. But
how many
guys they have to get? How many David Keckners are there? Because that shows
you
how
are
many
a rare
seasons.
Breed.
Right, but they have hundreds of roles
you too much, Dave.
Asking people to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
they even had the guy from Survivor who never on there. Yeah.
Well, Larry can guide. They shoot in such a way that Larry can stop the scene and guide it.
Tell him
what to say.
Yeah.
That could be that case.
Yeah. Let's move away from this a little bit. I want to talk about the guy that's at the end there.
Intimacy coordinator.
You know, Rob was the best man in my wedding.
Oh,
I don't know if you know
okay.
that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm a little threatened by whatever. I don't love it. Whatever. It is what it is, right?
He's feeling
it.
Yeah.
Is.
He's processing.
But I do want you to
Would I be the best man at your wedding, Dave, if you get married?
My next one? No, yeah. Be, I'm one of my sons.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's fair.
Would Rob be invited?
I'd beat out Joe's son.
I'd make you be the minister.
Yeah. Flower girl. Flower girl. Yeah. Actually, I am registered at the Universal Life Church, and I do work
on the
And
if Rob doesn't want me to say it's too late, but you know, you change his life. I don't know if you know that.
I don't.
You did. Yeah, yeah. So Rob, I remember saying, no, I'm going to be a comic. That's what I'm going to do, just like you did. And I even remember, I don't want to go too far off the rails, but I remember him talking about when he, in a relationship he was in, where things might not have been going financially the way he wanted to go. He goes, listen, if you make me go get a job, I might resent that. Uh-huh. This is something I might never recover from. And he's had a couple of relationships with different comics because he's great at comedy, and they've taken him under his wing is not the right way to say it, but he's taken them along. Tiffany Haddish he's worked with, for Tommy Davidson he's worked with, but you're the first one to say, all right, you're my guy, and now you'll come along, and you've essentially, I don't know, Rob, am I talking out of school? You gave him a career, and now he's thriving. He's better than he's ever been.
He buys us dinner.
Yeah, he buys us dinner. I don't have to buy us dinner anymore.
It's amazing.
You know how many dinners I bought for this guy? It's
quite
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Hey, it's Justin here from the DLP Agenda. And from time to time, you hear us coming on, having some fun alongside our friend Randolph Rice and everybody at Rice Mirtha Pissoras. But I want to make sure you know, what we love and appreciate about Rice Mirtha and Pissoras, your personal injury lawyers. They're the absolute best. They have 120 years of combined trial lawyer experience in Maryland State and federal court. I want you to get a hold of them 24 hours a day if you need a personal injury lawyer by calling 301-753-3440. That's 301-753-3440. Or again, go to ricelawmd.com. They are ready to fight for the best possible outcome in your case at Rice, Mirtha, and Pissoras. So contact them today. Schedule a free case review and schedule a time to sit down and talk about your challenging legal issues. Tell them the DLP Agenda sent you. Rice, Mirtha, and Pissoras, ricelawmd.com, your official injury lawyers.
Hey, it's Justin from the DLP Agenda, welcoming to the Die Laughing family, GRB Roofing. GRB Roofing in Bowie, Maryland, think about it. Your roof, the roof on your home, the roof on your business, it covers all your stuff. Yeah, you could do without a front door. Yeah, maybe you could put a piece of plastic over a window. But a roof? You gotta have a roof. You gotta have a top-tier roof. You gotta have a roofing company like GRB Roofing that's gonna take amazing care of you. How do I know they're gonna? How about 65 years of collective experience? How about 700-plus projects completed beautifully, successfully? Go to grbroofing.com. Right now, get your free quote today, and they're going to take amazing care of you. Commercial, residential, exterior home improvements, deck and fencing. I can't wait to use them. My house, total dump. Every day, I want to go on my roof, I want to take myself a crowbar, and I want to rip up the entire daggone thing. You know what's going to happen after I have a flipped out moment? A, I'm going to call myself. B, I'm going to make a therapy appointment, and then I'm immediately going to get a hold of GRB Roofing. Again, give them a call, 443-699-6192. That's 443-699-6192, or go to grbroofing.com. That's grbroofing.com. It's your roof. It covers all your stuff.
You know, because we've built this unique show that I don't think a lot of people do. You know, like
nobody does the banter
that we do.
The in between,
also a two-man show too.
Right.
A unique premise or a unique lineup that most standard comedy shows, MC, feature, headliner, occasionally guest set, but you guys, two-man show,
hey,
and that's
real it. Quick, how often do they try to shove some MC
it
in?
Happens.
You?
It happens.
Yeah, they don't say no.
They don't read contracts a lot, so it does happen. Yeah.
Look, I did hear about an MC showing up recently and being like, you can feel free to watch, but you're not getting on stage.
Did I say that?
Well, San Diego, that guy.
Someone just showed up.
Yeah, well, I was... No, the problem with San Diego was I was irritated that someone wanted
it was
to
on
jump,
the heels of the other thing.
Jump me in my green room.
Yeah.
Then they show up with a host, and our contract is a two-man show.
And we were just there a year ago. They know that.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, you guys, I just felt even more disrespectful. I didn't say I was going to let him do the show.
Right, right.
He decided to leave.
But it kind of messes with the feng shui.
Do you feel there's too many people here?
No.
Okay, yeah. Brittany writes in chat, it feels like Joe is peeing on Rob, marking his territory.
Oh.
Which brings me to
my cool
next point.
I'm cool
here.
With it. I'm
David
cool with
Keckner,
it.
Joe Robinson, we've okay. prepared a little something here that I would love to run by you, and this is courtesy of the matriarch of DLP, beautiful Katie Robinson, her okay. garden upstairs you got to meet. She had a great idea saying, you know, Joe, you were... when you got married, Rob was your best man.
He was.
David Keckner, this is probably the greatest relationship. There it is right there. We got a little something
oh,
here.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That probably the greatest relationship Rob has had for years.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's yeah. now, it's
so we're going to play a game called Who Knows Rob Better?
My penmanship is shit.
We're going to ask you a series of questions. Right. Rob knows the answers to these, and I have some additional ones. Whoops. Watch out now. Where we're going to ask you a series of questions, and you gentlemen will write your answers down, you'll reveal, and we'll see who knows Rob Mayer better. At the end of it, gets to keep Rob.
Yes. A lot of pressure.
Wow. I might just throw it. Yeah.
Touché.
All right, we're going to start off something very simple, very basic, very common.
I'm confident on Dave on this
know.
One because of a recent conversation.
Question one, who knows Rob Mayer better? What's Rob's birthday?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
All right.
Dave, really quickly with an answer.
God.
Ma'am,
no,
yes.
I don't know the year. I know the day.
A birthday that will live in infamy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you a hint, Joe. You should never forget it.
Oh, hey, no hints. No hints.
He's already writing.
Nope.
He needs help.
All right.
During football season.
September 12th. Yes.
All right. One point on the board
Jeez.
For David Keckner.
Yes. Yeah. Mary Ellen Britton want to play as well.
Can I also say that Rob doesn't like his birthday?
Oh. No.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that. He
doesn't
does
not like
he doesn't put it
was that
on
a question? Yeah.
He doesn't
no,
is it?
No,
he doesn't put it on Facebook because he doesn't want to have to he doesn't want to have to respond to everybody that says happy
that's
birthday.
True.
I just don't do it anyway.
It didn't give me a point.
All right, question number 2 on who knows Rob Mayer better. A person near and dear, close confidant, friend. Hell, she's almost DLP adjacent at this point. We love seeing her.
We saw her last night.
Tawanda, a dear old friend of Rob.
Yes.
How do you spell Tawanda?
Ooh.
Here we are.
Steph says, we love you. Happy late birthday.
Here we go. Okay. And.
C-A-W-A-N-D-A.
Point for each. There we go.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Nipping.
Yeah,
at Mr. Keckner's heel.
Pressure's on. Can you keep that lead? Right now, Dave, you control your destiny.
Yeah,
if you
win out, I can't.
Yeah.
I lose
you
Rob.
Can't catch up.
Yeah, Rob is ostracized forever and forever haunts the road with you. Question 3. How many siblings does Rob Mayer have?
How do you define sibling?
I know this, so.
Okay. Damn it.
I'm going to bet neither one of you know.
You're right.
Yeah.
We might have a push here. We might have a push.
I don't have to say boys and girls. Just
no, just a number.
Yeah, just give us a number here. Okay, 360.
So he has a half-brother and a stepsister.
Oh, I wrote 3
You wrote 3-step. Rob, the correct answer?
Okay, I have a half-brother, a stepsister, and 3 stepbrothers.
All right, so 0 points on the board.
I just... went and played golf. We had a whole...
Yes. Yeah, the stepsister, right?
Stepbrother.
Oh, I thought that was the stepbrother.
That's okay.
We both lost.
Yeah, you both lost.
It is still...
Dave was closer because you had 3 total.
Right, but I didn't know 2. The half-brother. I actually knew you had a half-brother.
Okay, that's fair.
Rob, how many siblings do I have?
Oh, God. Is it...
Who knows David Keckner better?
That's a good...
I actually know.
I think it's 5.
Yes.
Yes.
So we just were hanging out with him. We were in Colorado.
Who's your favorite?
Yeah.
All of them. I love
There's
them.
Definitely a favorite. You can tell us one's
Well, Mark, you and Mark were there in Virginia Beach when you flew down the next day to Miami for the Chiefs Super Bowl, the first one they won.
The first time we beat San Francisco.
In this Mahomes Reed incarnation.
I love this next one, Rob. This one really tickles me pink right here.
All right.
Okay. What is Rob's favorite color?
Oh,
you should know this.
Hold on.
Very interesting.
Hold on.
All right.
I'm loving the answers.
Yeah.
I think we're going to put points on the board.
Yeah.
And you're both correct. He is colorblind. Rob sees in 1940s cinema. That's right.
Hey, Dave knows his Rob.
Yeah, Dave knows his Rob.
Brittany said red, Aria said black women. Actually, blue would be my favorite color.
You don't even know what blue is.
As
continue.
Idea
of blue.
We were looking for colorblind.
We were looking for colorblind. You are correct. It is a trick question. Right. He does not have one.
Either way, we both got it wrong.
Rob does not know what color is.
So if you can't play an instrument, I can't have a favorite.
It's either
instrument.
Black or white. Yes.
Yeah. I can't sing. I can't have a favorite singer. I don't know. I can't sing.
He thinks Tawanda is Korean. All right. Number five. What is the name of Rob's special? What is the name of Rob's special?
I don't even know what it's called. Which one are you talking about?
Here we are. Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Do we have points on the board? Right. Hold on. It's Dry Bar Comedy.
Okay.
We have a point for each.
That's the company that did it. But that's you guys did well. So
is it Once You Go White?
No, that's the name of an album.
There is another CD has called It Takes a Village.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's If You Can Make It Here, because I came out and I were in Utah and I go, hey, you know, if you make it here, you can make it. Oh, there's no song for this.
God, I wish
I got to laugh.
I wish I said that.
I go, that should be the special.
I wouldn't be behind right now.
Right, yes.
Okay. Next question.
Comedy the Core, another album. Good job, Rodney.
And who knows Rob Mayer better? How many stages has Rob fallen off of?
What? That's not fair. That's
how many stages has Rob fallen off of?
See, a great that story. Happened before me.
It did. It did, but a great story.
You get
told.
Credit for knowing that, though.
I want to challenge the question.
Ooh.
Because it predates me.
Well, it's part of how well I know him,
he
right?
He had a but birthday before he knew you. He's always been colorblind.
I said three. Okay. It is one.
All right, we're
one.
Tied. All right.
Yeah, now we're tied. Even though there could have been ones you've never told us about, so we might find out and have to change
that's
the
true.
Results.
I famously was really drunk and tired at a show that Joe was at, and I was supposed to do 15 minutes. I did 30. The mic cord came out. I didn't realize it. He had to come and I couldn't put it back in.
Oh, wow.
I said thank you, good night, and I fell off. And then
fucking
I threw up in the elevator.
Let me tell the end of that story. Yeah. Rob called me the next day. He said, he goes, hey, man, what should I do? I said, well, call the club and talk to Chip, who was a manager, and just say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, and I won't drink there anymore. He goes, well, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. No. So he got to work the club. They there called him 3 days later. Right. He got to work.
They like honesty.
Yeah. I had an Uncle Steve on my grandfather's side who got into a little bit of the trouble with the law, with the drinking and driving, and he stopped driving.
Yeah, that's
he just continued to kiss the bottle and just got rides to work. That's right. Dedication.
That
to
is
booze.
Dedication.
But it's like, guess I've done driving from now on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said upstairs prior to the podcast, I come from and will die within pure white trash.
Yes.
Number six. Does David Koechner and does Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, remember where they first performed together?
Wow, they said it
away
earlier.
That earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have given that away earlier.
Yes,
I'm just going to do the initials. Well,
we need a bonus then, don't we?
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. I did the initials.
Bonus
do I need to
question.
Write it out?
You know it. I mean, you said the cemetery. I know you're thinking of.
Yeah.
I know the city you're saying.
Yeah, we're in Annapolis, and it's tripping me up.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an A.
Yes.
If you say the cemetery, you know it's the city with Arlington Cemetery.
Yes, Arlington.
Arlington Cemetery. Yep.
We're going to give you that.
We're going to give him that point there.
All right.
Also, how about this bonus point? Do you recall the first city they ever did Office Trivia in?
Oh,
yes.
That's not fair. He was there. All right.
Yes.
You were there for falling off the stage.
Yes, right. You were there.
You remember, Dave?
The first city.
Well, I know.
Hold on.
All right,
I think he might be right. Hold on.
You spelled this wrong.
Is it
you're
that?
Fine. I get it. Hold on.
Gary, Indiana, no.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Greenville, South
Carolina. Oh, yes! Oh, thank God.
Oh, God.
Got wrong.
Oh.
Okay, but it was close.
All right, here's another one here. Let me pull this up. Fill in the blank, please. Once you go white, you will remain blank. Okay. There we are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tight.
Tight.
Wow.
Okay.
You guys know.
That's
this.
A softball right there.
That's a chip shot right there. And Katie, I need you to feed me more questions.
Oh, it's it. It's a tie.
We might have a tie. There's going to be a custody agreement between these.
You know what? I'll get every other weekend, and you can
Does
have
either one
Monday.
Of you know my mother's first name,
Robert.
I don't know your mother's first name,
Roberta Mayer.
Okay.
Do you know his middle name?
Yes, it's what
whoa,
is it?
Whoa, that's the tiebreaker.
I think I do.
Okay.
Is it Douglas?
Nope. It's Henry.
Hey!
Oh, right.
Hey, David Keckner with the win!
Yes!
I just found out you're hey, good hey. Game. Good game. Oh, my God.
Well, that's not fair. Douglas? I brought up a question. I know the answer.
No, no, that's
which you
can have him.
The answer too. You should.
By the way, that's my nephew's name. I did know that.
You know that. You should know. You're Mitchell, word. Right?
That's thank right. You, it gentlemen. Is Mitchell. That's yeah, right. When's my birthday?
For my birthday. Oh, shit. It's early December, late November, somewhere in there.
Yeah, you got it.
I mean, if you want to discuss,
you
did say
football.
I did say during football season.
Football season is 6 months long.
Yeah. It's well, 12. Not for all teams.
Okay.
For his team, but not for all teams.
Yeah. Some people consider maybe a training camp and the draft, all that.
For the Commanders, it's 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. It's 5 weeks long.
I had forgotten his birthday last weekend, and we were with my production partner, Paige. And we were talking about birthdays, and I thought Rob's was September 10th. Mm-hmm. I knew he was a Virgo. I knew it was like in the first 2 weeks, but it's actually the 12th, so I would have gotten
something historical happened near it, but I can't put my finger on it.
Well, you're August 24th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're in the February range. Because it's like the middle.
Same month as 10th
or something. I'm just guessing. It's somewhere in February.
You know, actually, Dave, I'm glad you're here because you are 1 week away from a pretty significant anniversary on this show.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the legend at this point. I believe it'll be 5 years next week on April 23rd of a pretty famous instance of Joe Robinson that we've found different ways to celebrate throughout the years. We returned to the scene of the crime. There were Bible readings, some mariachi music playing. I believe the year was 2019, Joe. Next week, April 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024, Dave, that Joe Robinson had one of the biggest accidental pants shitting in the changing room of a Kohl's.
Well, actually, that's not true. It was not in the changing room. I was have you been in a Kohl's before?
Yes.
They have Kohl's cash.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So let's say this is the Kohl's.
All right. Okay. Right here. Yep.
You're drawing a picture.
And if I was looking for a shirt and I was here, that's when I said, oh, no. Because, you know, I tried to do one thing and something else.
Yes.
Right. Right.
I understand.
The bathroom was there. Oh. Right. And I had to, you know, navigate all the way slalom through there. And by the time I got there, I had to, you know, I had to take my underwear, I had to leave it in the in the Kohl's.
Yeah.
And also then I had to go buy new underwear and pants, right? At the Kohl's. I had to do both. So, you know, I had told these guys this story, and now it was 2 years ago that my wife said, "Oh, I have to go return something," and these guys were all at Kohl's.
Yes.
And they were there cheering me on, celebrating.
Well, on TikTok.
Celebrating my anniversary.
Yeah.
What did you eat?
I don't recall. Oh. If I had, obviously, I would archive that. I would never eat that again.
I think the better story is when you were in the looking in the model home.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what we're doing.
Did you shit your pants
again?
Yeah. So what happened?
He's got a very slack hole.
Yeah. So what happened was we were looking at a house that was at the height of COVID. We didn't even know what COVID was. So we didn't go anywhere near one another.
You touch a doorknob, you get it.
And so what happened was the realtors go, all right, you look at the inside and we'll look at the outside and then we'll reverse. Uh-huh. Well, when I went to the outside, I was like, uh-oh. Yeah, there wasn't an option, right? So, but I'm also with people I don't really know them that well. I'm also, and I go, hey, I can't remember what I said because I didn't say I had to go to the bathroom. Oh, I did. I said, oh, I have to go to the bathroom real quick. And I go in and I just destroy this bathroom. And then I look up, and there's no toilet paper.
Of course, it's a model home.
Ornamental soaps.
Yeah. I mean, does the toilet even work?
There's no.
It's not even hooked up to plumbing. There's no water.
You know what else? There's no soap.
Right.
There's nothing to dry your hands with.
No.
Okay.
Clean stuff up with.
So
I
turned on the faucet and I bidet myself in the sink of that.
Oh my God.
Of that house.
They got it. You're sitting in that very house. In that very chair.
It was not this house. But I remember, but I was also trying to do it quickly because when there's duration, they think you're doing something else.
You were.
So, I don't even know why I did this, but we were wearing gloves. This is how early it was. People were wearing gloves. Right. They didn't know what COVID was. So I went to the bathroom and I tried to go quickly and I bidet myself. And I was also, It was winter, and my asshole had water on it. I pulled my wet pants up. And then I don't even know why I did this, but I go, oh, I walked out. I go, oh, I left my gloves in there. And who gives a shit, right? Why do I even care that I leave my gloves in there?
Into the bathroom, Dave, and signed the wall.
No, but what happened was the husband of the realtor, he goes, oh, I'll go get him. And I, he goes back in, and this is the nicest guy. Oh, and when he came back out, he was a different person. I'm telling you.
Changed. He changed
like,
her life.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, we'll see you guys. He was his fucking face.
The house is no longer for sale.
How mortified was Katie?
Well, that's the other thing. I didn't tell Katie.
Good.
I got in the car and we drove home. And then like 4 days later, right, 4 days later, we had a friend over, Erica, who I'd mentioned before. And I go, hey, I got to tell you a story. Because she would have been mortified having just done that. And I confessed it 4 days later.
That's smart. Yeah, you gave it a little time.
So you didn't buy that house. Did you ever talk to those realtors again?
Matter of fact, we did. And she does know that story from listening to the show. Didn't know. Yeah,
isn't
and also,
some
also her
or something?
Her husband. Yes, she is a family. She's a was, but yeah, no, I'm sure her husband had already told her it wasn't. Yeah. She's just putting all the pieces together. Sure, which you're
and so he doesn't have to swim in a sea of embarrassment on his own. Dave, there was a time myself, and this is a true story. These guys know this. That I'm on stage. I have a headlining set. I'm about 20 minutes in, and it's not feeling great. And I'm doing everything I can to go. All right, I think I could stave this off, and I can't. It's one of the we're going to go to the bathroom or I'm going to the bathroom, my body says. So I go, you know what? Shit. I'm good at improv. I'm going to take this wireless microphone and I'm heading right into that bathroom and I'm going to continue doing my set from the bathroom. I paint in the color of hazelnut. And I had a friend come out on stage and act out physically what I was saying. And for 15 to 20 minutes, I ate shit and got no laughs. When I tell you.
But he didn't know.
I took shit and ate shit at the same time. I believe I had a drunk wander into the bathroom and just start talking to me in the middle of, because he just hears me talking through the bathroom divider going, hey, whatever happened to that one dude that used to work at the station that drove his car into the other car? What happened to that guy? I'm like, sir, I'm, no, it doesn't look like it, but I am headlining right now. And I come out to a sea of disinterest. I mean, a sea of like.
So don't do that. That's what he's saying. For.
That was at Magoobies. Yeah.
That was at Magoobies. Yes.
Brittany says, Dave just told all these great stories, and you guys are like, listen to this one time I shit in my
mouth. It's the best story I have.
Exactly. Yeah, this is all we've got.
Adam McKay's a genius. He shit his pants in a cold. So,
yeah. Okay. I crap my pants at Magoobies. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Listen to me on Michael Mara's show. It aired today. Check that out. Our buddies Rob and Mike are have transformed to a two-man show.
Love you, Mike. Love you, Spiewak.
Is it called anything different now?
The Michael Mara Show.
The Michael Mara Show.
We have, thanks to Brittany and...
Oh, we got to break these things out, by the way. Watch out now. We have a pretty big reveal, right? We got to show this thing off.
Sorry.
Whoa, hold on now. Oh, thank you, Randolph.
Thank you to our buddy Randolph. Thank you to Brittany for a design idea, and thank you to Dave Dennis for putting this together. It is the official Die Laughing Productions T-shirt.
Rotate that a little bit towards that camera. There you go, right there.
Yes, there you go.
DLP. Look at that. 100% asbestos made by children in a Pyongyang sweatshop. It cost a nickel to make, and we're going to sell it for $25.
I wore that.
Bryce Murtha, Presaurus on the back, representing the DL people. There's a QR code to all... Everything Die Laughing Productions and the DLP Agenda.
I think the first time they're going to be for sale next week, Magoobies for my show.
Wednesday.
Malarkey, Falsehood and Lies, True Stories I Made Up, Magoobies.
Just real quick, 24th. I wore that. Yeah, apologies. The 24th of this month at Magoobies.
Yeah.
I wore that shirt for I was the maiden voyage. Mm-hmm. I wore it to.
An Orioles game?
Yep, Jackson Holliday's home debut. And he struck out four times.
Okay.
So I don't think it has anything to do with the shirt.
I don't know.
The shirt
I
wouldn't
do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So $25, come to Magoobies, see you're working out your, I'm curious.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Have you heard of a show like this, Dave? Tell us what you're doing.
I'm working on a special myself in the fall that I'm going to do. I did an hour a decade ago, and I didn't like it, so I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a redemption hour later on this year. I'm just putting it on YouTube, nothing special. Okay. But I have... This is essentially going to be a paid open mic of sorts where I have asked these guys. I tend to tell a long-winded tale.
Okay.
So for a 5 to 7 minute long open mic set, I don't have time to work these stories out. And I have about six or seven I'd like to tell. And I am going to be doing a one-man show of basically storytelling of things. And I know there are nuggets in that I can mine for something larger, but I need to tell them to an audience that I'm going to be grabbing things out of for future sets. But, I mean, these are going to be some longer 10, 12-minute long stories. I think will be entertaining. I don't think people are going to be doubled over in their chairs laughing, but this will be some of the first time I've ever told some of these stories. And I'm probably going to be seated half the time. I have a tendency to move around a little bit like you, do crowd work. This is not going to be that. It's going to be, I'm telling you, it's called Malarkey, Falsehood, and Lies, True Stories I Made Up. It's a lot of exaggerations of stuff that's actually happened. And I'm going to find out where the funny is in a paid show. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not going to be, like, you know, terribly expensive, but it's still going to be in a comedy club setting. And I'm making it apparent to the people that are there. You're getting raw, unfinished.
And people
never
like
done
that.
The stuff before.
They're rooting for you.
You know, do you watch the Food Network at all? Do you watch cooking shows at all, ever?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. But you see, I like watching the process of the cooking, of the baking, of the creation,
everyone
of the grilling.
Does. They're very popular.
And a lot of times when you see a comedy special, a really good one, Nate Bargatze comes to mind, anything Stavros, anything, you know, pick your poison out there right now.
Shane Gillis.
You see David Gillis, Tell. Great one. David Tell's one, Scovel's, brilliant. Well, you get to see the cooked dish.
Right.
That's it. You get to see it's finished. But how many times do they burn it? How many times did they over-season it? How many times did they botch the side dish? How many times did they...
Why are you not just doing chunks? Like, just go do 15 minutes and then...
The issue is the times of some of these stories I kind of have timed out. They're too long for open mic sets.
Okay.
And I work 98 Rock, where you've been. You're gracious enough to be a host of ours, a guest. And open mics are Mondays through Thursdays. I wake up at 3 a.m.
Oh.
Most open mics get started about 8 or 9, and they get 8 or 9 downtown in D.C. in Baltimore. I'm in bed at about 7.
Right.
This is a late night for me. I'll be home and in bed in about 30
tomorrow
minutes.
Tomorrow at 3 a.m.?
I'm up at 3 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
And that's 5 days a week. So to be able to, I have to make my own stage time.
Yeah.
It's hard to do a regular open mic showcase, stretch yourself out.
Almost impossible.
So it's hard. So I get my shows where I can get them.
Right.
But I need to take one big one. And here and play around. Take a big one on the 23rd in honor of Joe. Hey, come out on the 24th and celebrate what he did in his pants on the 23rd. Yeah, so it's gonna be a storytelling show of a lot of unfinished concepts, but I'm making it clear to the crowd.
Okay.
You're gonna be there for the creation of this.
Right.
And you're gonna see failings.
Love it.
And you might find gems. You might be like, I was there when he
you're recording this, obviously.
Well, we had a friend of ours. Now I'm gonna record all of it. We had a friend of ours, Nick Mullen, who I continue to sing the praises of Year of the Dragon, who he came to Magoobies, and we got to see him have the light bulb moment of his closer that became the closer on his special.
Oh, okay.
And Joe even went up to him and goes, that joke right there, that's the closer. Fast forward, 7 months later? It was the closer.
Yeah.
And it's mostly me.
It was Joe. Really? He did it for him.
did he shoot it at Magoobies?
He did not. It's a great
club. It's
a great
club. New York, right? It's like,
The guy's amazing. The guy, Andrew Unger, that runs the thing. Also, if you are in an airport somewhere, your hotel, 20 minutes to kill, go to the Google reviews. And for the most part, 4.5 out of 5 stars. But occasionally, someone gets a hair up their ass and they get a little froggy. Drinks weren't served quick enough, didn't like what the feature had to say, thought it took too long to get in, and they'll write a little something. Andrew responds to everyone.
And not diplomatically.
He goes fucking scorched earth.
You better be right.
You better be right. You better
he remembers. He'll say no. You guys were drunk.
He stays there. The reply stays there.
Oh, yeah.
And
he wants it to stay there.
He wants the smoke.
He'd run towards it.
He sees to it, you will never come back to my club.
Wow.
It's immaculate. Because he knows the quality of club he runs. And a lot of these, I'm going to guess 4 out of 5 of them are without merit. It's a lot of people.
They're just drunk and they spilled a drink on themselves.
Exactly.
Well, I also say if I didn't know and I read those reviews, I'd be like, I'm going to that club.
I'm going to that club.
I'm going
there. That's hilarious. Yeah. And then you click on that person's profile that's complaining and you can see all their prior reviews. 1 star, 1.5 stars.
Yeah, that's
they hate everything.
That's their vibe.
That's their
what
person.
They do. Yeah.
But man, is it worth spending time in a concourse just seeing double guns, iron on his hip, blasting his 6 guns at something. It's great.
Wow.
David, thank you for joining
us. Thanks, man. It's fun, right?
God bless.
We're
Dave,
on road
you, man,
all
so
year.
Thank
check out the schedules, davidkechner.com, obviously, robmirror.com as well. And we'll see you April 24th at Magoobies. And it's just, let's buy the shirts, people.
Buy the shirts.
Thank
These are going to be the
Thank
first
you.
Place.
Yes.
What are they going to go for?
$25.
$25. There please buy them. Buy two. Scan the back. New episode of Laughs Count Anywhere is up behind the Patreon right paywall. Thank you to all of our new YouTube followers that came out tonight.
Appreciate you.
DLP Agenda on Patreon. And we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right.